Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Hello and welcome to The Social. Melissa Zway, and joining us today is writer, broadcaster, and comedian extraordinaire Candy Pometer. Hi, Candy.
Happy Friday. I'm feeling good. It's Friday and I'm feeling the vibe.
Yes.
Well, you're looking great too, as always. And we know how much you love the Olympics. So this story that we're starting with is for you. The Olympic Games have officially started. And after all of the challenges our athletes have faced, here's a question. Is just getting there enough of a success, or is it all about making it on the podium? According to the Toronto Star, this year, Canada's Olympic Committee isn't focused on medals and it considers getting to the starting line as the real victory. What are your thoughts about this, Candy?
Oh my goodness, medals are the point. We want to win, always try to win. As soon as I read that, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of about 15 years ago when school started saying, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody should not get a trophy. I got a house full of trophies. I don't have any math trophies. Let the math kids take those, but I'll take the athletic trophies. You know, the whole idea of losing and learning to lose, that's part of building your character. And so when you go to the Olympics, you're going to win. If you lose, you learn something from it. But to go to say, oh, I hope I, you know, land somewhere in the middle of the pack. No, shoot for the stars, Canada. Shoot for the gold.
Candy, I was thinking the same thing. You guys remember, I think we might have all come of the same age with the participation badges. Remember those? Well, I was the queen of like the brown badge that was essentially just like, thanks for coming out, kid, you know? But I was okay with that because the stakes were lower. But, you know, Olympic stakes, as you were saying, Candy, slightly higher. You know, the point is to win. Otherwise, I don't think our Olympic athletes would dedicate basically every waking hour and every last penny in order to get there.
Well, you know, I don't feel like as strongly about that, Candy, as you do. I'm okay if Canadian athletes don't medal. I understand what some of the difficulties have been and why the Canadian Olympic Committee doesn't want to put that kind of pressure on given the circumstances. But I'm curious if you feel the same way as, you know, a big Olympics fan in terms of viewing. When it comes to what to watch and the events and participation athletes versus competition athletes, where are we making our choices as viewers? Like, for example, if there's a race and there's a Canadian athlete who's there to participate and another athlete who's not Canadian who's competing and there to win, is it okay for me to say I'd rather the camera stay on the competitor who's in the lead in the race instead of following the middle of the pack,
well,
as you said, Candy?
I don't know. I think they're trying to, everyone probably wants to win. I think what they're pointing out is that there have been some discrepancies between countries that in the context of COVID. Like, let's face it, Canada, for example, you know, we were late to the game on vaccinations. U.S. was right out of the gate getting their athletes vaccinated or had access to that sooner. So presumably they were able to train sooner. They were able to get indoors. And then I know, for example, with Canadian swimmers, like there were so many lockdowns happening that you weren't allowed to get access to indoor pools. Whereas, again, America, I think because they opened up sooner or maybe they had more access to private pools. So I guess the question is, Candy, do you think that at all COVID should be a consideration? Or maybe the inequities that COVID presented should be considered?
Of course, it's a consideration, but everybody wants to win. Hello, I want to be a rock star. But reality is, I can't sing. So I am not going to be a rock star, right? So everybody might want to win, but only the winners are going to win. And in losing, that's where you grow. That's where you learn something. But you should be going for the gold every time, always going out there to do your best. Leave it all out on the field. No excuses.
And inequities...
Go ahead, Jess.
I was just going to say inequities, like they come about every year. I was just reading that poorer countries like gross product national, whatever you call that, not GPS, but GDP or whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you, champ. Thank you for that. But those countries end up taking home more medals. And I love that because everyone loves an underdog story. Lainey, I'm going to just throw it out there. One of your favorite films, Rocky IV, they gave Drago, the Russian, like all the top-notch technology and doctors and that. What did they give Rocky? Like a log and a snowbank?
Oh,
and
yeah. Montage. Montage. Yes. You're right. Rocky had to like pull the horse carriage and run through the snow in Siberia. And that's like, and here's the thing. That is like the part of the allure of the Olympics. It's those human interest stories and they make it very cinematic. I always love the profiles, you know, before the competition, they always do the 3-minute profile on the athlete and they go to the hometown and they talk to the parents and then they have the Rocky training montage and then they cut to the pool and you're like, are they going to win? Right. But to go back to my other point, you're watching because, you know, they're profiling this person in theory because they're one of the favorites. And so they're not going to cut away from the favorites to like the 40th place people in the pool. Meanwhile, you're like yelling, like, go back to the start of the race. I get that. Like, that's a great point, Cynthia, about Canadian athletes and not being able to train at the same level and things being closed and restrictions and lockdowns. But if I'm thinking about the pool, I mean, our major pool hopeful, Penny Oleksiak, is the reigning gold medalist from Rio. And I'm pretty sure that, like, no one is expecting Penny just to participate. Like, you know, we're expecting Penny to medal. Sorry, but, like, when you already have a gold medal and you were 16 when you won it and you are Canada's, like, premier swimmer, like, I'm not going to tune in on prime time, like, the day of the race, being like, it's okay that she's just there. Like, you know, just her standing at the pool is enough. No, no. I'm expecting her to go lights out.
The exception to the rule was Eddie the Eagle, right? The ski jumper. It was incredible that he even made it, and that was a beautiful story. But in general, you should be going there to win.
All right, we are going to move on to another debate. And this one is not about the Olympics, but about neighbors. CTV News is reporting that this multi-million dollar home in Gatineau, Quebec must be torn down because it sits too close to the road. It's 7 meters away instead of the minimum 15.67 and was approved by the city accidentally. Some of the neighbors also complained that the home didn't fit in with the rest of the neighborhood, so do you agree with the decision to tear it down? We're hearing from some of our viewers, including JD on Facebook. Now, JD weighs in saying the city screwed up and they need to eat that. Let this guy enjoy his home, which he hasn't been able to do in years. The neighbors need to get a hobby. What a fiasco. That's my thing, too, about the neighbors. Like, the neighbors, yes. They're like neighbors who paid for a lawyer to fight this. I haven't hated a house so much where I'm going to dip into my savings, get a lawyer, and sue the owner for its ugliness. This is so weird.
Lainey, I totally agree. And the lawyer representing these 4 neighbors in this 8-year-long saga literally said, my clients are courageous people. You know, I could think of a few other adjectives I'd use for these neighbors before courageous. The waste is what gets me here, you guys. Like, not only the material waste in a moment that feels like the, not to be too dramatic, but the earth is on fire, but also the waste of time, the waste of money. This is obscene to me. If I were this neighbor the owner, and I'm so glad he's suing the city. But I would be like, you want me to tear down this house? You bet. Guess what I'm putting up? The most garish monstrosity of a home that you can imagine that I can put into code just to spite you. That's me.
It's a disgusting display. Go ahead, Candy.
The city should pay for demolish and resurrection.
Agreed. I mean, to me, it just makes me so angry. It's a disgusting display of ineptitude. It's wasteful. It's lack of accountability. And yes, right now the city is not apparently paying. So yes, sue away. And it's that 8 years fact that Jess, you mentioned, like, this is obviously somebody's dream. And so they've spent, like, maybe they had young kids at the time, like Jai is 8 right now. He'd be 16. It is just a colossal thing. And you know, the thing is that, like, I will say something about, like, when there are old century homes that someone poles down in order to put up a McMansion. I do think there's something really sad and tacky about that. But as somebody who lives in a neighborhood where there's like basically zero curb appeal, including my own house, I'd be so happy if someone came in and built something. Like, it looks polished. It looks together. It's so I think true. These neighbors are jerks of the first order.
He just increased the property value for everyone around him with that McMansion. You're totally right. How much do you care about a politician's private life? Former Nova Scotia Liberal candidate Robin Ingram says she was forced to drop her campaign over boudoir photos of herself that she posted online. So would this have been a concern for you?
No. Not at all. It would not. I mean, boudoir photos generally mean completely covered, but there's like a suggestion of sort of sexy. We're so weird about what constitutes sexy, though. Like, I wonder, would it have been okay if on her Instagram she featured pictures of herself in a bikini on a vacation, for example, or would that be too much? Would it depend on what her face was doing? Like, would it be something, oh, like if she's making like a sexy face, is that like a no-go? Or if it was just a smile, that's acceptable. I also take issue with the fact that, like, when you think about it, sexiness is really in the eye of the beholder. So I'm going to point out two leaders. JT, we know, has had a few photographs where he's kind of saucy, a little bit, or arguably saucy. Justin Trudeau, I'm talking about. I think we're waiting. There we go. There's one.
Yeah, there
and then
go.
Also JS, just Jagmeet Singh. This is a photo that I mean, one of these photos I find incredibly hot. I won't tell you which one. But like, so it really is in the eye of the beholder. And honestly, I just don't care about a leader's, what they do behind closed doors, as long as they aren't out there, preaching family values and against sex ed. And as long as what they are doing behind closed doors is safe, sane, and consensual.
I wish everybody agreed with you that they didn't care about the private lives. But unfortunately, I think people get too wrapped up in that. First of all, you can tell that she is from the tattoo world. Those of us who are tattooed, we think tattoos are sexy on ourselves and on other people. So we always take pictures that are sexy in nature, showing off our ink. Here's some of mine. There's what the first stage of the tattoo of my mom on my chest. And then later I added to it. Those are lovely pictures. But I have been asked multiple times, there's my face doing what Cynthia said, making a sexy face.
Wow.
I have been asked by multiple parties multiple times to run in both federal and provincial politics. And I have said no every time. And I've said no because I have lived a life. And I know that if I run for politics, people will dig into that life. Now, I don't hide anything. You read my book that's going to come out next year, you'll read all about it. But unfortunately, the kind of life I've led, which makes me a great leader and makes me a full-grown person at 52, are the very things people would jump at if I was running for politics. And for some reason, we want our leaders to come out of a bubble at 30 and then jump on the political stage, when in fact, living a life like I have done makes for a really good, full-rounded person. People just don't see it that way.
But that's what's so maddening, Candy, because like,
it is.
I thought that we should want our elected officials to be able to relate to us in some way, and therefore people who have lived real lives and had real experiences, so they can legislate and make decisions based on knowledge, based on an understanding of the public. Like, it's just so backwards, this expectation of a certain definition. I'm not saying like everyone's definition of this, like sexy, is the same, but a certain definition of wholesome. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And wholesome, yep, almost always involves like vanilla style sex.
Yeah.
You can't, and especially applied to women.
And no
especially
tattoos.
Applied to women. Hey, April on Facebook wrote us and said, time for people to think about how their actions will reflect their future. We always did a background check on job applicants, as we did not want someone's past choices to become an issue for our company. April, I get a good background check. I wouldn't want like a Nazi to be working for me, a Nazi sympathizer to be working for me. But if I were a boss and we're talking about like boudoir photos, I'm not too sure that, for me, it doesn't require a background check. What I find most disturbing about this story is that a Liberal contact phoned Robin and said that the idea of this photo surfacing was enough to make the higher ups tell her to stand down. And they said, you know what? Use mental health as an excuse. This party, the Liberal Party, who loves to talk about how they are the champion of women, who loves to also champion mental health, did this? Like, this is really, really upsetting. And if they keep that up, they're going to run out of potential candidates, like, now.
Do you think there's a tipping point, though? Like, do you think that there is, like, I hear what the viewer or the writer, viewer who wrote in said. Like, I wonder if, you know, obviously we know it's boudoir photos. Would this be different if it was, like, I don't know, something extraordinarily hardcore that was out there? Do you think that that would make a difference in your eyes?
No. I mean, as you said, different definitions of what hardcore is, like, but at the same time, I think that, to, you know, you were referencing that viewer's comment. That person's name was April, I think, Jess.
Yeah.
And you know, April's point was time to think, like, time to think about your past and make decisions accordingly so that things can't come back and haunt you in the future, which to me is like, so what are you going to tell a 20-year-old who's supposed to live life to the fullest? I think about Amanda Gorman, for example. Amanda Gorman, right, poet laureate, gave the speech on the inauguration. I think something like 22, 23 years old. Obviously, we know she's brilliant. She did a Vogue interview, and she was like, yeah, I don't take pictures at parties. I don't really go to parties, and I'm really careful about what when people photograph me, because I do want to run for president one day, and I don't want anything like that to haunt me. And I'm thinking to myself, you're in your 20s. Like,
yeah.
Does, what if she's at a party and she's photographed, she's never has been, but like ripping a bong. And based on that, you know, when she's 40, you're going to allow that to affect this brilliant mind, this genius,
yeah, but
not
we
taking
live in
office.
Culture. Like,
this is
like
stupid.
It's a fact. Like, unfortunately, I hear what you're saying, but it's like we still live in this culture where
a ton
of things are harshly judged. And I think actually she's being quite wise. And I mean, we haven't got to the point where it's like nothing matters. And maybe we don't want to get to that point. I don't know what that looks like, where every, you know, we still do have issue. Like, there's been a few political snafus during the pandemic where, I mean, this is not intentional, obviously, as far as we know, but where like Zoom calls, people have been getting changed, you know, like we know that there's been some discomfort that people have experienced from that. So I think these lines are here for some reason, but I just think the lines are really murky and confusing.
Well, I'm going to bring it back to you, Candy, though, because like, how do we change this mindset if people don't go out and confront it? So I'm going to bring it back to you. You said you've been invited to run, and the reason why you haven't run is you're not ashamed of anything, but you know it'll be brought up. Like, what would happen if you just said, come at me for my past, I've been open about it, you know, I'm not going to let you do that?
Well, in my personal experience, I also feel like a person should run when they feel they have something really strong to offer. And I feel like I am offering what I have in the lane that I'm in. And there are other people in a political lane that are offering that. But when it comes to, like, thank you. When it comes to that comment about, you know, think about your future, I would say, you know, I say to young people in my life, don't drink and drive and wear a condom every time, because those two things can end your life. Everything else is fodder for the tell-all book. And the idea that you should try to live a sterile life in order to have any respect down the road. Look, I've got all kinds of paper on my wall. I graduated as valedictorian in my law school class, and I had a 20s that would make most people blush. And I love and am proud of both parts of that. And we have to get to a point where we don't have to be shamed for the life we lead or the choices that we make.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.